ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Welcome to Fuelcast. I'm Carrington Clark, and this is your source to stay on top of the numbers behind the ongoing energy crisis. It's Wednesday, May the 6th. We're recording mid-morning. Let's have a look at the figures. The price of Brent crude has risen to $110 a barrel since we last checked in. The national average price of unleaded has stayed about level at $1.85 per litre. And the national average price of diesel has dropped to $2.60 per litre. Today, I'm joined by Alan Kohler to dig into the major energy headlines. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Carrington.
Alan, it's only in the last 20 minutes or so that Donald Trump has announced that so-called Project Freedom, which was supposed to be the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, is on pause to allow for further negotiations with Iran. So it seems Project Freedom is almost over before it began and seemingly only allowed the passage of, is it two American flagged ships to go through that strait? What do you make of it all?
Well, I think it's a bit weird, really. I mean, that they need to stop escorting ships through the Strait of Hormuz in order for negotiations with Iran to continue. I mean, fair enough, you'd say, okay, well, they shouldn't be bombing Iran while the negotiations are going on, or at least they've agreed to that. But yeah, anyway, you're right. He said, while the US blockade will remain in full force and effect, Project Freedom, the movement of ships through the Strait of Hormuz, will be paused for a short period of time to see whether or not the agreement can be finalised and signed. So anyway, there you go.
Another odd move in this enduring conflict, it seems. Alan, I want to talk about China and its role in this conflict and how it has been affected by this global oil supply shock. Now, it is a massive consumer of oil, and it is the biggest, in normal times, purchaser of Iranian oil. How has China played this conflict, and what's your assessment of how impacted it has been?
Well, the first thing China did was to ban exports of fuel, that is to say diesel, petrol and jet fuel, that it was making from the Middle Eastern oil it was buying from Iran mainly, and that's just stopped. But also during the last 12 months or so, they've gradually been building up their stockpile so that by the time the war began, they've got and still have apparently got 4 months or 120 days of oil cover in storage there, which is more than anyone else, certainly a lot more than Australia's got, which we went into the war with about a month's worth of storage stockpiled. They've got 4 months. So they've done pretty well, really. And it's not just their stockpiles of oil and fuel, which they're holding. It's also the way they've electrified their economy to get off fossil fuels and oil in particular more generally, and they've been doing that for 20 years.
It was actually noted in the statement of monetary policy. We were there yesterday at the Reserve Bank going through this document. This accompanies yesterday's decision to hike interest rates, and it looked at how Australia's major trading partners had been impacted by the war. And it noted that China has been relatively well insulated because of this policy of making sure it had a large reserve of crude. And as you said, by restricting how much fuel it has sent overseas. Now, on one hand, that's good news for Australia, isn't it? Because it means if the Chinese economy is still doing relatively well, that means we've still got a pretty major market for the other exports that Australia relies upon.
Yeah, that's right. And Australia is very reliant on the Chinese economy, and they've been pretty smart in the way they've dealt with it, for sure. I mean, it actually began in 2003 when they began the electrification of the economy and also marshalling and looking after their oil storage at the same time. And it was specifically because in 2003, specifically because of the vulnerability they had because of all the oil coming through two narrow straits. The Strait of Malacca, which is between Indonesia and the Malay Peninsula and Singapore, and the Strait of Hormuz. And so they recognised then that they were vulnerable because of those two straits being able to be closed, and off they went. They built incredible amount of fast rail, more than the rest of the world combined. They've really pushed on electric vehicles And they've built a huge renewable energy solar power and wind power industry. So that's helped. And then, as we've discussed, they've been increasing their stockpiles of fuel and oil.
Now, Donald Trump is supposed to be visiting China very soon. This has been a delayed state visit to China. Donald Trump, though, has been hyping this up. But at the same time, we've also had the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, threatening and putting in place sanctions on Iran, but also going after Chinese companies, telling them not to do business with sanctioned Iranian companies. Now, what has been fascinating, though, is that China is pushing back aggressively on that and saying, telling its companies to ignore these threats. Do you think that this does risk being a full-blown confrontation between the world's two most important countries?
Well, I don't think they're going to go to war about it. I mean, what's America going to do? And Scott Bessent can go carry on all he likes. I mean, if China doesn't want to obey the sanctions, they won't. And there's nothing that America can do about it, really. I think, America and China are rivals. They're engaged in a geopolitical contest, which has been going on for a while, obviously, and that'll continue. But I think the last thing Scott Bessent or anyone wants to do is actually go to war with China, and they won't. Even if China invades Taiwan, they won't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Alan, thank you so much for joining us on Fuelcast. Remember, you can catch ABC Business Daily in your feed this afternoon, and we'll be watching for the fuel announcement expected from the National Cabinet meeting later today, and we'll check back in with you about it and all other fuel news on Friday. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Carrington.